because nobody cared about me. They just cared about the product that I'd licensed. And I was able to ride off the back of that.
So here's a quick question off the back of that. If you were starting again, would you do anything differently, or would you still do what you did all that time ago back in 2001?
Well, things have changed. I mean, licensing is definitely the way that I recommend anybody starts making money online. Licensing or affiliate marketing, where you don't actually have to create the product. That's a huge, huge shortcut. Would I do things differently? Oh, heck yeah. I mean, you realize that when I started, we were still selling VHS tapes and cassette tapes. You know, we hadn't even become DVDs, and we're at the back of that kind of product creation already. But you know what? I was told that if I was selling a product that had a 30-day money-back guarantee, my original mentor told me to wait 30 days before offering a back-end or an upsell product. I mean, we wait, 30 seconds before we do that now. So I definitely do that differently. The other thing that I do differently as well is I would put continuity or recurring income or some kind of membership or into a marketing funnel straight away. When I think back to some of the first products I sold where there was no back end, there was no recurring, and some of these products, I sold 5,000 copies of these products. I mean, we were putting some good numbers through our books, but I'm thinking, oh, if only I had 10% of those 5,000 people joining a membership site and paying a repeat payment every month for more materials, I would be in a very different place even now. They're thinking about that one thing. So that is definitely, I encourage, something that everyone should do, is they have to have reoccurring income in their business.
I think one of the key points as well is that, or one of the key questions that comes around a lot, is that of self-belief, self-motivation. One of my questions would be, when you first started doing this, Nick, were your family, were your friends supportive of your decision to do this, or were they dismissive? Did they try and talk you out of doing this?
I think my family care about me, and they care. They I think everyone's family that share these concerns that we sometimes get are worried about failure, are worried about, are you doing something that you, are you meant to be successful? And I had my fair share of that. And I guess I was, I was the first person in my family to say, I don't want to be employed. I want to be self-employed. I was the first person in my family to maybe be the tear away of a teenager that, always didn't want to comply. So I think in my nature, I always had this kind of this contrary point of view. So I think the more my family said, you can't do that, or you shouldn't do that, the more I wanted to prove them wrong. I certainly had a lot of that going on. And because of, probably because of my nature, I just was stubborn, I think, and just did it anyway. I sold things on eBay when I could. I licensed these products when I could. I studied the internet. And most embarrassingly, and I don't know if you can remember back to the late 90s and the early 2000s when you used to get discs on the front of PC Buyer magazines. And my first online experience was actually putting an AOL CD-ROM that was stuck on the front of a magazine into the CD-ROM drive of my computer and plugging this cable into the telephone line. And I think I'd been online for 3 weeks before I found this button on this AOL homepage that said www. And I'd been surfing the AOL intranet for 3 weeks before I realized that's not online. And I didn't have any members of the family or any friends that were prepared to tell me that I was making those mistakes. I was kind of ahead of the curve on that.
And fast forward to now, obviously your business is thriving. You've achieved a huge amount. You've won numerous awards as well. What are you most proud of, Nick, in terms of everything that you've achieved in your time online?
I think the thing I'm most proud about is putting both boys through a really good education. Education, I worry about the education system and the fact that we're all told the same set of fibs in the fact that we need to go and get a job and work for somebody else. I want to help everyone know that there is a world of e-commerce out there. And I wanted the boys, both Daniel and Josh, to get a good education. So, I mean, there were school fees to pay. So that's probably the most proud thing that I can say is, and I think we all want to be able to do well for our children and our grandchildren and the members of our family. So that's probably the thing I'm most proud about. And then my dad at one point was concerned, saying, you know, isn't this all a little bit materialistic? And, you know, I did like the idea of, you know, big houses and fast cars and, you know, expensive hi-fi systems and all that kind of thing. And I've enjoyed those. But that was maybe in a point in my life where I felt I had something to prove. Now, I'm really into travel. My wife and I, Kate and I, we like to go to Africa, America. We just like to enjoy the world. And our business is now in a place where it is ticking along nicely. You know, it doesn't matter whether we actually turn up to work, you know, or not from day to day, or where we work from in the world. But each year we have a choice that we make, and that is, we say, you know, is the business still going in the way we want it to go? Do we need to, you know, re-navigate our ship? And there are two things that came up a year ago, and they still feel the same thing. Number one is, we want a completely transient business that if we close the MacBook and we put it in a backpack, we could run the business from anywhere. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, we no longer want to employ anybody. We've had commercial premises. We've employed staff. Now we'd much rather outsource to other self-employed, outsourced freelancers, and be their customer. Receive an invoice from them on a regular basis. That's absolutely fine. But I don't want to be responsible for you know, their taxes, running payroll, having you know, buildings and you know, and overheads and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to be a traditional business. And it's actually, it intrigues me when people tell me that they want to learn how to scale their business, how to 10X something. And I think, okay, that's interesting, but is that really what you want? Are you going to be fulfilled and happy if you have all of those kind of liabilities that you need to satisfy? So just be careful what you wish for.
Really good advice. And one of the questions that I always get asked is how easy or how difficult is it to get started? What technical know-how do you really need in order to be able to start your own internet business?
I'm going to shoot myself in the foot answering this one, okay? You just need to know how to ask for help. I believe this. If you have a computer that is online and you know how to ask questions and you know how to follow instructions, they are all the skills that you need. Google is your friend. And whilst I know we all want to have somebody that they can put their arm around our shoulder and what have you, ask questions, whether it's either in a discussion forum or asking Google or searching YouTube. There is an answer out there. And as long as you're willing to be inquisitive and search for the answers, the world is your oyster. I've never known in the whole history of the planet such a wonderful time for anyone to start a business. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you are, sitting at home with a tablet or a laptop computer, or you're one of the biggest corporations in the world, where you're Microsoft, Apple, Facebook, whoever it happens to be. Your website takes up the same space on somebody's device or computer screen, some of those huge corporations in the world. That's your shop window to the world. Everyone can be listed in Google. Everyone can take out Facebook adverts. Everyone can have a voice. And the world has become such a small place because everyone is able to trade online now. And I think that, you know, all you need is that inspiration to say, actually, that's something I want to do. I want to learn how to put a buy button on a web page so somebody can maybe put money into my PayPal account, or I want to go and how do I take Visa or MasterCard? How do I sign up to a merchant account? How do I take these payments? Oh, that's how you do it. Now let me find out how I can put a payment button on a web page. You only need to get one person to click that button and say, yes, I want to buy what you have for sale today. And you've got your first customer. You've reached your, what I call your epiphany moment, the moment of which a complete stranger gives you money. And you think, if I can get one customer to buy what I have for sale, I can get two, I can get 10, I can get 100. And then you're away. It's like learning to ride a bike. You might wobble at first, but when you know your parent lets go and you pedal furiously, you feel like the king of the world.
So your advice, I guess, is don't overcomplicate things. Just take the necessary steps to move yourself forward one step at a time.
Absolutely. Remember, people are begging to be shown what to do next. Can you create a product, an information product, whether it's a written manual or a series of videos that show people how to accomplish something, how to do something? And then you just need to go to those people and say, would you like to buy what I have for sale today? And a percentage of those people will say yes. I mean, if you know what the problems and the pains and the difficulties that somebody's having in a particular niche, and you understand that that keeps coming up time and time and time again, that's called a marketplace. Now, I'm not promising that you're going to make $1 million by tea time. That's not how this works. But if it means that you can reach your epiphany moment and get somebody to make a purchase from you, and you provide value to that person, and this is key, that you actually have to enrich their life in some way. You want to leave them thinking, well, that was a pleasant experience. I learned a lot from that book, that manual, that video. I wonder what else I can learn. And then you've left the door open for a second purchase to take place. And that's where the real money gets made.
It's great advice. And in terms of the process that you go through whenever you do this, Nick, could you maybe just run us through, step one, step two, step three, just again, so we get an idea of what's actually involved in this.
Okay, so let's just very quickly look at step one. Make sure you have a license to start with that provides you the permission to do this rebranding. The next thing that I would do is I'd look at the title of the product itself, write it down, and then try and write as many different titles that would fit. I'll give you an example. There was a product that I licensed, I don't know, 10 years ago by a guy called Jeremy. And I think it was called One Day Product Creation. My rebranded version of this turned into the 24-hour product formula. It's the same product with a different title. And to do that, sometimes if you're good with words, you might be able to, one day is 24 hours. This was about creating products. This is called product formula. You might be able to come up with that. If you can't, use a service like the thesaurus.com, where it'll give you synonyms, it'll give you other words that are similar to the word that you've told it, and you may well be able to therefore come up with a new title. So I would definitely do that. The next thing is find a graphic designer. Don't feel necessarily that you have to do all of the work yourself. Now, personally, I believe I have been blessed with the graphic design skills of a three-year-old using jumbo-sized crayons. If people were judging my products based on my graphic design, it would not go down very well at all. It would look like a picture that would be stuck on the front of a very proud grandma's fridge with magnets, and somebody's come back from kindergarten. It wouldn't look good at all. So what I would suggest is go and brief somebody that is used to creating the kind of images that you see for ebooks and home study courses. Go and find a graphic designer on a website. Perhaps you go to Fiverr, Fiverr.com, maybe freelancer.com. Another one is called Upwork, Upwork.com. These are all people that are freelancers that are probably much better at graphic design than you or I. So that's something that you can also do to outsource the wrapper of the product itself. So you've got a new name and you've got a new title. And then marry it together by going to your favorite domain name registrar, whether it's GoDaddy or Namecheap or wherever, and make sure you can go and get the domain name for that product, whether it's a .com or a .net. If you can't get those two, I would actually rethink. I wouldn't go for anything that isn't .net or .com at this time, purely because consumers aren't ready for it. They think if you buy a domain name that finishes .co, that you've mistyped it and there's no M on the end. If you buy one that's specific to your country, you're alienating half the world. So .net, .com, make sure you can get the domain name. Try and avoid one with hyphens if you can, because otherwise it becomes a question of is it a slash, is it a dash, is it an underscore, is it a minus sign, how do you write it? So try and make it all one word, all lowercase. And I guess if you do get a domain name that's quite long, then I would encourage you each time you write that domain name to make the first letter of each word a capital letter, and it will stand out much, much more clearly.
That's great advice. And not wishing to put you on the spot at all, but how many products would you say you have licensed, let's say in the last year or maybe the last 5 years?
Oh, this is like Fight Club, okay? How many products would you license? We license a lot, and we rebrand a lot, but we don't just work in the internet marketing niche. We've got many different niches that we work in. So we do license a lot, and we also create and license to other people a lot. We have newsletters that we rebrand. We've got other courses that we allow people to license. We've got a lot of material. Licensing is a huge part of our business. In fact, it's crazy you ask that question, because whilst we teach licensing, I don't think people expect me, where I am in business right now, to still use licensing as heavily as I do. But I do, and that's a secret. So that's Fight Club.
And you've achieved so much in your career doing this. I mean, you've won multiple awards. Maybe you want to talk a little bit about that. But also, my question for you, Nick, is what's next for you? What do you do next?
So it was a great privilege to be awarded Internet Marketer of the Year at the end of 2016. And that happened because I was invited to an event with 200 other digital marketers, internet marketers and information publishers. And I was shortlisted to give a 30-minute presentation. And during that 30-minute presentation, I explained how one technique can ensure that when people are responding to your marketing materials, you can guarantee to get a 100% what we call opt-in rate, or 100% conversion rate from prospects and visitors coming and responding to your advert to joining your list. And it was something that had never ever been taught before. So it was a huge privilege, because this was a brand new technique that nobody even thought of. And it just raised eyebrows. It got people to grin. And whatever conversion rate other marketers were having, all of a sudden they were thinking, he's got something here. And I still believe that this is one of the most closely guarded secrets to the popular world, because it's just too valuable to be putting into an ebook or to be putting out there for free. And I think that's what really interested and captured people's imaginations. And this is the thing that makes me smile. It was something that I read in a very, very old book by Robert Collier. And I just updated it for the internet age. And it just goes to show that some of the very old traditional marketing methods that even happened in the 1920s, the 1930s, are still as relative today. The principles remain the same. It's just the tactics that change. So that was the most amazing thing. Where are things for me moving forward? Where are things changing? Where are things heading? That's a really great question. I love the way that the internet has evolved. I think that we haven't even begun to see what the internet's going to become yet. And it's a very, very fast moving landscape. We knew that email marketing was huge. We know that these bot lists are very popular at the moment. We know that push notifications are there. I think the internet is changing into a very dynamic place. And I think before long, you'll realize that the internet experience can be as individual for us, and our experience online can be as individual for as us as we are. So it's going to continue to evolve and change.
Well, you've achieved a huge amount over the last few years. For anybody that wants to find out more about you, Nick, and how maybe you can work together, how can we find you? What do we need to do to be able to find you online?
Well, I've recently put together something that I'd love to give away for free for absolutely everyone. And it's a book that you can get on Amazon for $14.95. But I'd like to give away a free copy for everyone, because it gives you a wonderful introduction to this whole idea of creating something and selling it. And you get hold of that book at sixfiguresayear.com. More than happy to give you one of those with my compliments. Like a small contribution towards the international shipping and handling to get that to you, no matter where you live in the world, whether it's Timbuktu, Queensland, Australia, India, Asia, you know, Africa, wherever you are, more than happy to do that for you. Because it goes through in depth what I call these four keys to having a successful six-figure a year business. Everything from increasing conversion rates, so you get more people to say, yes, I'd like to buy what you have for sale today. How to increase your profits, so you're not just making a small profit, you're making a substantial profit each time something's sold. How to get more people to buy more. So it just goes through the keys to running a successful business.
And once again, where can we get that book from?
Just go head over to sixfiguresayear.com. Sixfiguresayear.com.
Great. Nick James, thanks so much for your time. It's been a real pleasure to catch up.
My pleasure indeed. And I look forward to catching up with you all again soon.